What can we expect in the near future in America? And what about all the rest of the world? Are we still better off than they are? Well, this is Elbert Hardy for Bible Prophecy Radio. This podcast is going to be about something that we all need to do and we all can't live without, and that's eating. Now, what am I meaning by that, and how does that relate to prophecy? What is prophesied in the Bible about famine? And could that possibly come to oversatiated America? When you go to Europe and you ask how they're doing, they say, well, where are you from? And you say, from America. And they say, oh, how's your wealth? Well, yeah, we are 6%, just 6% of the world's population, but we have 50% of the world's wealth. But wealth can't buy you health. We are number 31 in a list of about 400 nations in our health situation. We're a sick nation. Do you know that over 50% of the people in America are now obese or overweight? That's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. Now, how does that happen? Is it because we overeat? Well, not really. That's not the whole story, anyway. The whole story is how our entire food system is set up. And this is the problem. We have fast food. It's convenient and it's cheap. Why is it cheap? Because it's subsidized by the U.S. government. They have checkoff programs that allow these companies to actually get subsidies for their supplies and their food that they produce for others, which brings the cost down because it's paid for by the government. Government cheese in particular. Well, why is that a problem? Well, it's because they put food together in such a way that it's addictive. I can eat a hamburger at McDonald's, for example, or I used to way back when. I don't do that anymore. But when I did, 10 minutes later, I would be hungry again. Why is that? I just ate. Well, they put stuff in there to make you come back and want more. Well, that's normal. That's just the way a business is run. But that's only in our society now. This hasn't always been that way. People used to be more benevolent and cared about others, not just the bottom line. What I'm advocating and what I'm telling you today is an encouragement to grow something, grow anything. Looking at the situations in other parts of the world, let's say China, India, Bolivia, just anywhere in the world, and you'll find that conditions are ripe for revolt, revolution. Why? Because they can't get the food to the people. And we in America, having an overabundance, usually, and this is changing, by the way, we donate tons and tons of food all the time in many parts of the world. But it doesn't get to the people, it goes to the people in the governments. and they're supposed to deliver it to the people. Well, doesn't usually work that way. They keep it for themselves and starve the people. That way they can keep them under their thumb. This is not God's way of doing things. Let's take a look at Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 15. And it's kind of revealing about what's happening today, in my opinion. So here we go. This is the NLT, Romans 15, starting in verse 1. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. This must not just please ourselves. We should help other people do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me, that is, fallen on Jesus. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago. Why? To teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. This is what makes it a prophecy. These things are not yet fulfilled. Verse 5, may God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. He also came so that the Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. So everything we see and find in the Old Testament has been written down and preserved for our admonition. How else would we have gotten the information? God had to deliver it through his people, and his people at that time were the Jews. Now, have Christians replaced the Jews? No. No, God still has a purpose for the Jews. But we, mostly, I am a Gentile. We, meaning a nation, we are Gentiles. But we give glory to God in the United States more than any other nation on earth. Now, is that still true? I would say, yes, it is, even though we are also the greatest sinners on earth. Dropping down to verse 20, my ambition has always been to preach the good news. And by the way, what is that good news? The story about the life of Jesus? No. The good news is the good news that we have a governor named Jesus who is coming back here to rule and reign over the whole earth. That is, take over every government, disband every army on earth, and bring peace at last to this world. That's the good news. Where the name of Christ has never been heard, his ambition then was to preach where that gospel had never been heard, rather than where a church has already been started by someone else. I have the following plan spoken of in the scriptures. Here's what it says. Those who have never been told about him will see. This is yet future. and those who have never heard of him will understand. In fact, my visit to you has been delayed so long because I have been preaching in these places. Verse 23, but now I have finished my work in these regions, and after all these long years of waiting, I'm eager to visit you. I am planning to go to Spain, and when I do, I will stop off in Rome. So he's writing to the Romans. That's why it's called Romans. And after I have enjoyed your fellowship for a little while, you can provide for my journey. Now, what does this have to do with famine? What has God promised or predicted about famine? Let's flip over to Revelation chapter 6. This is talking about the first six seals and who breaks them open. Well, let's read in verse 1. As I watched, the Lamb broke the first of the seven seals on the scroll. So that Lamb, obviously, is Jesus. Then I heard one of the four living beings say with a voice like thunder, "Come!" I looked up and I saw a white horse standing there, and its rider had a bow and a crown was placed on his head. And he rode out to win many battles and gain the victory. When the Lamb broke the second seal, I heard a second living being say, "Come!" Then another horse appeared, a red one. Its rider was given a mighty sword and the authority to take peace from the earth. Wow. And there was war and slaughter everywhere. Uh-oh, that could be the United States. But we are in a pretty good position, really. We're very far from Europe, Africa, Australia, from Russia, except for Alaska, which is right over the strait. But China, all of those places are thousands of miles from here. When the Lamb broke the third seal, I heard the third living being say, "Come." And I looked up and I saw a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. What on earth would anybody be riding a horse and carrying a pair of scales in his hand, dangling down? Well, we'll read on. And I heard a voice from among the four living beings say, "A loaf of wheat bread or three loaves of barley will cost a day's wages. And don't waste the olive oil and the wine." Now, the word olive oil here, I believe, is in reference to not something we eat, but something that we use for a lamp to shine a light. This is the black horse, after all. When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the fourth living being say, "Come." And I looked up and I saw a horse whose color was pale green. Its rider was named Death, and his companion was called the Grave. These two were given authority over one-fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with famine and disease, and wild animals. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the persons of all who had been martyred for the word of God and for being faithful in their testimony. They shouted to the Lord and said, "O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge the people who belong to this world and avenge our blood for what they have done to us. In other words, these are martyrs that have been killed because of the word of God. Then a white robe was given each one of them, and they were told to rest a little while longer until the full number of their brothers and sisters, their fellow servants of Jesus, who were to be martyred, had joined them. I watched as the Lamb broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became dark as black cloth, and the moon became as red as blood. Then the stars of the sky fell to the earth like green figs falling from a tree shaken by a strong wind. The sky was rolled up like a scroll, and all of the mountains and islands were moved away from their places. Then everyone, the kings of the earth, the rulers, the generals, the wealthy, the powerful, and every slave and free person, all hid themselves in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they cried to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." Have you ever known a lamb to be wrathful? Well, Jesus is the Lamb, all right, but he will have wrath, anger. "For the great day of their wrath has come, and who will be able to survive?" And that's the end of chapter 6 of Revelation. Now let's go to Matthew 24 for a moment and see what Jesus said about famine. Starting in verse 4, Jesus told them, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. Then they will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation." Now, that there in the Greek is ethos, or race. Race will go to war against race, and kingdom, or government, against kingdom. There will be famines. Right there it is, verse 7. "There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world." Now, would that cause trouble in America if we had a bunch of earthquakes? Well, it could destroy the country. It could destroy anything on earth. Nothing could be left standing, possibly. But that's not what it says. It says in many parts of the world. But all this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. Okay, famine is one of the first. Then, verse 9, "You will be arrested, persecuted, and killed." Sounds like those martyrs we just read of in Revelation 6. "You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold." Now, why would sin be rampant everywhere? Because of all the trouble it'll be just to live, just to survive. That's going to be a big deal. Grow your own, guys and gals. "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." How are you going to endure if you don't have any food? How are you going to endure if you can't go buy it at the grocery? Jesus said the night is coming when no person, no man, will be able to work. If you can't work, you can't get money. If you can't get money, you can't go buy food, even if it was there in the stores. grow your own. That's always a good idea. At least you've got something to eat. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. And then the end will come. So it's at the last moment, the last minute, when people would die or, well, it'll be critical. I'll show you that in just a second. The day is coming when you will see what Daniel, the prophet, spoke about, the sacrilegious object that causes desecration standing in the holy place. In other words, where it doesn't belong. Verse 16, then those in Judea must flee to the hills. A person out on the deck of a roof must not go down into the house to pack. A person out in the field must not return even to get a coat. You might need a coat. It might be winter. How terrible it'll be for pregnant women and nursing mothers in those days. Well, let me tell you, those days he is talking about have not yet come. So if you're going to have children, do it soon. And pray that your flight will not be in winter or on a Sabbath day, or on the Sabbath, it says. For there will be greater anguish at that time than at any time since the world began, and it will never be so great again. In fact, unless that time of calamity is shortened, not a single person will survive. And there it is, verse 22. But it will be shortened. Why? For the sake of God's chosen ones, and that could be you and me. Verse 23, then if anyone tells you, look, here's the Messiah, or there he is, let's go. No, don't believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. See, I've warned you about this ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, look, the Messiah is out in the desert, don't go looking, don't bother. Or, look, he's hiding here, don't you believe it. Why? Verse 27. For as the lightning that flashes from the east and shines all the way to the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. In other words, it'll be dark outside. And I'll show you why in just a second. But when Jesus comes, he will be the brightest star around. He will be the light of the world. He will shine, and people will be frightened almost to death. Now, why would he shine like that? Revelation 9 and verse 2, if I'm not mistaken. Revelation 9 and verse 2. Well, let's start in 1. The fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen to the earth from the sky, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. When he opened it, smoke poured out as though from a huge furnace, and the sunlight and the air were dark, or turned dark from the smoke. Well, let's face it, smoke comes from fire. And what's on fire that would produce blackening smoke? Well, and you who have heard me before have heard this before as well. But the point is, we all better prepare for famine. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 34, you'll hear some dire stuff here, so hang on with me if you would. Come hear and listen, O nations of the earth. This isn't a local event. This is worldwide. for the Lord is enraged against the nations. His fury is against all their armies, all the nations' armies of the world. He's angry with them. He will completely destroy them, dooming them to slaughter. And I'm going to drop down to verse 4. The heavens above will melt away and disappear like a rolled up scroll. It'll be so dark that from the moon, you will not be able to see the earth. It'll be blackened to the point where there's hardly any visibility whatsoever either way, whether you're on earth looking at the moon or on the moon looking at the earth, it'll be so black in the sky, it will not be visible. The stars will fall from the sky. Well, what's that? That's exactly what Jesus himself predicted, that the stars would fall. Now, stars, you know very good and well, are suns like our own sun. They cannot fall to the earth. There are some stars that are bigger than our entire solar system. What if one of those were to fall toward the earth? We would melt long before we ever felt a thing. No, that's not what he's talking about. These stars are satellites, which we have out there. That's my opinion. If you look up at the sky at night, you know, it's a clear night, and you don't live near a city, you'll probably see these stars. And they look just exactly like all the other stars, except they travel across the sky. That's what I think he's talking about in Matthew 24 and verse 29. But he goes on to talk about how dark it's going to get. The streams, and here's why, the streams of Edom, this is verse 9, Isaiah 34, will be filled with burning pitch. Well, there's your burning oil. It's exactly what it is doing to create that black smoke. You can also read of this in Genesis chapter 14, verse 10, where it talks about tar pits. And the kings that were being chased by Abraham fall into them and die there. This judgment on Edom will never end. The smoke of its burning will rise forever. The land will lie deserted from generation to generation, and so on. There are so many more scriptures that talk about famine. Let's go to another example in Ezekiel chapter 22. Let's start in verse 23. Again, a message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, give the people of Israel this message. And we already saw where the messages that were given to Israel are for our education and admonition right here and now. In the day of my indignation, you will be like a polluted land, a land without rain. A polluted land won't grow anything. And that's what I think he's talking about there. Your princes plot conspiracies just as lions stalk their prey. They devour the innocent people, seizing treasures and extorting wealth. They confiscate your land, in other words. They make many widows in the land. Your priests have violated my instructions and defiled my holy things. They make no distinction between what is holy and what is not, and they do not teach my people the difference between what is ceremonially clean and unclean. You hear about that, clean and unclean animals, for example? No, not much. They disregard my Sabbath days so that I am dishonored among them. Your leaders are like wolves who tear apart their victims. Is that going on today? I'd say so. They actually destroy people's lives for money. Well, you can keep going and going and going. There are just, just type in famine. I can see that I have to stop the podcast now, but I wanted to emphasize this for the reasons that the crop yields all around the world now are dropping, plummeting to the point where they're 40% of what it was last year this time. 40%. We couldn't live on that anytime. So I think the world's in more trouble than we realize. America, we still can get food. It's becoming more and more rare. But grow your own, please. Do yourself a favor and get a hold of some longevity spinach. Now, longevity spinach will grow very easily and rapidly, and it will produce for you every single day. I got one leaf from a lady, and I planted that beauty, and it became a plant in 7 days. And I still eat off of it, including today, every day. It actually lowers blood pressure. So Google that or go on to YouTube and watch videos about it and learn to grow it yourself. You can contact me if you want to by emailing jesusiswhy@gmail.com. You can also go to my website, itellwhy.com, and learn more. Please learn to grow something, and soon, even if you live in an apartment, grow something. Well, this is Albert Hardy for Bible Prophecy Radio. This has been episode 276. Catch you next time. Thanks for listening.